This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today is King Solomon Hicks. This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. I'm very pleased to be speaking today to King Solomon Hicks. How are you doing?
Hello. Well, glad to be here, and I'm very excited to be back in Montana.
Yeah, great to be able to talk shop with you here. We'll just tell listeners we're having this conversation in a cabin in Big Fork. It's raining outside. It's early September. Hopefully this rain will help with the fires that have been going on. Yeah. And King Solomon is here for the Crown of the Continent Guitar Festival and has come here a couple of years, I think, right?
Just my second year back in Montana.
Yeah, great. I think where I wanted to start is to go back to the Cotton Club. You know, I know a little bit of the history of what the Cotton Club is, but I know it is an iconic place, and your role and involvement in that is really significant. So can we maybe start with how that came about and maybe what your journey was getting to that point?
Well, I was already playing in some of the gigs out in New York City when I was about 12, 13-ish. And I was playing at this one other place.
Let's stop there for just a sec. Let's let that sink in for our listeners. 12 or 13-ish. Yeah. You're already playing gigs. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. And this one singer, when I was playing at the Lennox Lounge in Harlem, she said, why don't you come over to the Cotton Club and sit in? Maybe the owner will like you. And I knew just enough to perform, and I knew just enough to play, but also at 13, not really playing the most, you know, things, but I could do enough. Uh-huh. And the guitar player playing was going on tour and traveling, so he was kind of ready to lose the gig. And I knew just enough to read music and just, well, actually how it started, the owner let me play it one song for the whole night, and play doing that for like four nights a week. Then when the guitar player finally left, I actually took the guitar chair for the Cotton Club at 13. I did my first album with the Cotton Club All-Star Big Band about 13 and a half, and I've been playing there ever since for about the past 7 years. When I get back to New York, it's every Monday night, there's a full 14-piece big band. Mm. Tap dancers. It's kind of like my school of how I learned, because having to repeat the show and play with the musicians who are on a much higher skill level and being surrounded by it, I kind of got the chance to hear what a real musician should sound like, and kind of like the soul and the theory and the funk and everything. So just being around for so much and watching other great performers come through the Cotton Club, I really learned a lot, and it was kind of how I got my feet off the ground, got other great gigs from it, and just learned how to perfect my own show.
For any listener who is not familiar with the significance of what the Cotton Club is, can you give a little bit of the history of that? I know there was that movie that came out, what, in the late 70s, early 80s or something. You know, other than that, you know, I want to make sure folks understand the significance of this venue.
The Cotton Club is probably one of the last remaining real big dance halls in Harlem. Back in the day, people like Duke Ellington, Cab Calloway had their own big band there. For the R&B, the Manhattans, soul singers still sing in the club. People like Billie Holiday came through. Pretty much it's a place where great jazz musicians used to play, and people still dance, and it still kind of keeps on the tradition of the Lindy Hop and like swing dancing and everything, and very good tradition.
So you were real familiar with what you were stepping into and the significance of the history.
Actually during the sets there's a MD who kind of just like gives the history every Monday, and I'm trying to like re-bring it back out in my head. So hello everybody, welcome to the Cotton Club. But at the time, I mean, I heard about the club, and I remember walking through the doors, these two big glass doors, and me seeing this like this great big band swing. I was like, oh my god, what the heck am I going to play? But no, I actually didn't know what I was going to do. I just kind of took it serious, and I loved playing, and the fact that I could be able to play with musicians and be on a stage. Well, the stage part didn't matter, it's the fact that I could play. It was kind of what kind of like got me into it. But I didn't really start to appreciate the history until like really later on.
What brought you to your instrument to begin with? I mean, like the first time you picked up a guitar, the first time something came out of your mouth and you realized, wow, I can sing. You know, this is something I want to try to do.
Well, I never really had the air for sax. Didn't like the classical hands things for piano. And my mom, both my parents were very supportive of me as far as getting into music. My mom actually had a friend who played guitar. Mm-hmm. And he came over to the house about once a week, and he taught me kind of really like a rock, jazz, blues player. And actually, I was originally like a classic rocker. That's how I got into guitar. Mm-hmm. And there's just something about how you can hit the strings and how it makes me feel, how I can make people feel with it. Just really what kind of got me to like guitar. But also another thing is I just stuck with it, just never stopped and just continued to get better. I was like, oh man, I can actually do this and get good at it. And so because I kept going on, my singing finally smoothed out, and eventually I got a vocal coach for a few days, and then when she was in town I would take lessons with her. She taught me how to protect my voice and kind of how to breathe properly, so that's when my singing took a whole other leap. The more I watched other musicians, the more I watched other singers, I kind of got more joy of, okay, I'm a guitar player, but when I actually start singing and performing, I can get somebody to enjoy the song on a whole other level.
In Harlem, New York City, Street 125, there's a club up there that really jumps and jives. With a band that burns so hot you won't believe your eyes. When you walk in the joint, Big John is sitting at the door. Check your bags in the back and get your feet out on the floor. 'Cause the night will be juking till you just can't take no more. We're juking, rocking at the Cotton Club. We're rocking, swinging at the Cotton Club.
why don't you come uptown? We'll be juking at the Cotton Club. You like to party, see the best show in town. If you want to groove, I put on your best dancing shoes, cause then you want to start. Start you again. Play. Cause tonight we'll be juking, juking at the Cotton Club. Yeah, we're juking, rocking at the Cotton Club. Yes, we're tapping, swinging at the Cotton Club. It's the hottest spot in town, we'll be juking at the Cotton Club.
This is John Floridis. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight. I'm speaking today to King Solomon Hicks. Solomon, I wanted to ask you about something specific to what you were saying about understanding that you're still developing. And one of the things I came across in listening to a previous interview, it might have been with Michael Marsalek from Montana Public Radio, the idea of at some point early on in particular, being in a situation where you had to follow guitarists who were further along, and kind of feeling a little bit of a fear of that, but then rather than letting that inhibit you, you kind of took that fear on and went at it, you know. Yeah. Maybe talk about that a little bit.
Well, with a lot of the players in New York still growing up, I just find I can be in no rush because somebody who's been playing for 50 or 60 years, they just have a soul, like, because they've lived life, so just, there's no really rush for me because I can practice to a certain degree, but until a lot of people say you gotta have your heart broken or something along those lines. Mm-hmm. So that's what kind of keeps me makes me feel all right. But also being in New York, there's so many great musicians and great guitar players. A lot of them, when I was younger, they saw that I was very serious, so they kind of took me underneath their wing. And just playing with them, yeah, it's very intimidating because they're going to play a great solo, and you have to think of something to say back.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of also put a fire underneath me to practice because it set really a high bar as far as, well, that's how they're playing at, and that's what I wanted the level I want my playing to be at too. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, it's not always like this, but the musicians were kind of nice in New York. They kind of, and also because my parents are always around, so nobody's really trying to mess with me. And now even like musicians, they actually like really respect. It's like, oh, Miss Solomon, how's your mom doing? Because a lot of times they like see us, they wish that their parents were there. And I really appreciate it now because at 13, you can't get into a club. Yeah. Your parents have to, so I kind of see the real importance of that now. But it's kind of through that mentorship that kind of gave me the fear, but also the fire to keep on going and kind of know that it's a never-ending journey.
Solomon, another question I wanted to ask you was the concept of being drawn in, not only by the blues music, the energy, the strength, but also the stories. Talk about that, because I think that sometimes that gets lost with folks. There's some great stories that go yeah. on in the lyrics, and people just hear, you know, similar chord progressions or similar, as you say, guitar players playing in a certain box, and they don't really dig in deep to what's going on in the lyrics and the stories behind them and the characters that are telling yeah. the stories.
Well, I'm a good example of, I just really stumbled upon this great guitar player named Little Milton, who kind of I'm surprised he's not more of a staple name on blues players, but he's became one of my favorites. One of his songs is called If Walls Could Talk. Mm. I actually did a version of it. And the song is basically saying, if walls could talk, I'm sure you'd hear a lot of things that would make you cry, my dear. Mm. Ain't you glad that walls don't talk? And something like that is just like, that really hit, because like all the relations between men and women that they have, and just all the things that can go wrong and all the things that can go right. Mm-hmm. I just find that a lot of those stories you don't hear on the radio anymore, that it's not really in popular music, and I feel like people kind of running out of stuff to say. So one of the things that kind of make me laugh, and that I find that I can kind of look down on like my like sad moments and make something funny out of it, is through like kind of like the blues songs. And
that's true. That's a really good point.
And I even heard one person say that most people think that blues is really just about being sad. It's no, it's actually blues is about having that sad moment but getting back up in moment. As far as just like how you get through it. So even just like the stories like on B.B. King or Buddy Guy, and not the popular ones either, because they've gone through like a lifelong where there's like some records weren't hits, some records never even made it out the studio. So trying to find those little gems and how to tailor even my own words and my lyrics to where it's like, it's not something to say I was walking down an Oklahoma road, because I'm not from Oklahoma, I'm from New York City. This is a little example. So how to kind of take those stories and put it in today's context, but still have as powerful meaning as those blues stories back in the day.
I'm going around the world. You're gonna miss me when I'm gone. To England, do that old
Solomon, did getting involved in music at such an early age and to the degree that you did, do you feel like, you know, it seems like a common story that you hear, and, you know, I mean, in some ways it's kind of almost a stereotype that when young people get involved in music, you know, so early, or they can be involved in acting, they can be involved in dancing, that they get so into it that they don't have a time to just be a normal 13-year-old, you know. I don't get that vibe from you just meeting you here today. You know, you seem like a pretty well-rounded guy. But was that something you had to kind of seek out to make sure you had plenty of time to dig into your music, but also have time to just be yourself? Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. It's actually funny. I was always the kid in high school. I was like, hey, Solomon, let's hang out. I was like, oh, I'm going to a gig. It's like, you know, I got to be in my suit. You know, I don't really have time, you know, hang out. And, I probably did miss out on a few decent parties, but also I was able to throw a few myself. I actually got to have fun and relax. And I find that music kept me out of a lot of trouble. When I was younger, I used to hang out with, I was part of the Children's Aid Society back in Harlem. It was kind of like taught kids, you know, after school programs, just like back in New York. And, you know, I used to hang out in the projects. I had my friend, you know, have my, like, you know, bicycle ride around the park and, you know, play video games, you know, like Halo, and we all get together in the System Link or whatnot. And I still got to hang out and have fun, but as far as just, like, the most part, I wasn't through music, and because I loved playing guitar, the business side, as far as, like, going to, it didn't really seem like a job. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm playing. So it's like, yeah, this is great. And so even though I didn't get to hang out on the streets till like 12 at night, just causing trouble and havoc, I was out playing them, you know, with my mom, so it kind of gave me a good moral sense. You know, a lot of us like, oh, it's like, you know, you don't curse, you know, you're so nice. Well, yeah, because I was around older musicians and people, so I'm not going to be roughhousing, you know, in that manner. And being 20 now, kind of, and still being able to party, because, you know, I'm older than 13, you can't really do too much. So at 20, I try to find the balance too, where it's like I'm able to play but also still hang out with my friends, and also because my close personal friends understand that. When I was younger, I found a good way to balance it. Wasn't the best student, not to say, you can edit that part out. But it was, I pick and chose the things that I wanted to do, but I think it was well balanced. And even if it wasn't, I get invited to a lot of things now where I'm able to say, oh, I have fun, but yet still get my work done and still keep it on, you know, trying to keep it on a steady incline instead of just like a straight plateau, to say.
What I mean, and the way she looked was way beyond compare. So tell me, how could I dance with another when I saw her stand? I saw her standing there. Well, now she looked at me, and as far as I could see, that before too long, I'd fall in love with her. So tell me how could I dance with another? Standing there, well, my heart went boom when I crossed that room, and I held her hand. I held her hand in mine, and we danced through the night, and we held.
each other tight. And before too long, I fall in love with her. So tell me, how could I dance with another when I saw her standing there?
This is John Floridas. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight. I'm speaking today with King Solomon Hicks. And as we talk about these great cultural icons like the Cotton Club and the tradition of jazz and the heart of the blues, and I'm looking at your schedule, and you're going to leave the Crown of the Continent Guitar Festival, and you're going to go on tour with Kiss?
Yes.
Okay, we got to talk about this. Tell us how this came about.
I was out of the States performing somewhere, and apparently one of the people from KISS, either the management or actually I think my mom said Paul Stanley, and called and said, hey, there's this gig and this is the contract and you can either accept it or you can decline and we can get somebody else. And I was like, this is one heck of a thing for the resume. So I'm able to take my own band. I'm doing it as the King Solomon Hicks Trio, and we're doing a 5-day cruise. We're sailing out of Miami to Ocho Rios, Jamaica.
I just love it. This is hysterical.
Yeah, and something that I remember, I still don't believe it's happened. It's nothing that I applied for. It's nothing that I planned for.
Huh.
And me and Classic Rock, one side is like, heck yeah, that's freaking awesome.
Yeah, I mean, you said you kind of started there, actually,
and
found your way to the blues and jazz, starting out with Classic Rock.
Yeah, and definitely planned out. Should be a great networking tool, and the music should go great. And I'm definitely going to see a lot of pictures on my website, Facebook, KingSolomonHicks.com. And it's going to be a great, great show.
Okay, so that's what I was going to get to, KingSolomonHicks.com. That's the name of the website. That's where folks can find out more about what you're doing. They can see the pictures of the KISS tour.
Yep, show dates.
And as well, your work with the Cotton Club and all the stuff that you're doing. Thank you so much for making time to be on Musician Spotlight. And
glad to be here.
Yeah, great to meet you, and all the best. And hopefully we get a chance to talk again down the road.
Yeah, so I'll be seeing you around. And to all the listeners, keep on listening and supporting the radio, and have a great evening.
This is John Floridas. You've been listening to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today has been King Solomon Hicks. If you'd like to contact us, you can do so through the Montana Public Radio website, mtpr.org. You can also contact us through our own website, musicianspotlight.org, as well as through Facebook. Our program is now available as a downloadable podcast from those websites, as well as through iTunes. Special thanks for today's interview to the Crown of the Continent Guitar Festival. Musicians Spotlight is a production of Montana Public Radio.